Because they believe the electoral process is corrupted. So in over 40 constituencies in Bangkok and South Thailand, they blockaded district offices so that ballot boxes couldn't be distributed. Police and soldiers looked on, unable or unwilling to step in. One by one, polling stations in those constituencies were forced to close. Counting is now underway, but announcing the election results won't be easy, with millions of voters shut out of the electoral process today. By-elections will have to be held on the 23rd of February. The final count may not be announced until then. Peter Hadfield, CBC News, Bangkok.
Today is the final day of the Munich Security Conference, and as Dominic Velaitis reports, the situation in Ukraine has been high on the agenda, particularly the treatment of protesters.
During an organized discussion, opposition leader Vitaly Klitschko produced photographs of injured protesters.
Okay, we've had enough of this. Oh, these are the times when you have to be so grateful that you live. In Canada, I was going to include America, but sorry, I just have too many fears of your entire political structure, economy, everything else. It just, the polarization, and I worry we're heading that direction in Canada. But damn it, why did I turn on the news? Why did I turn on the damn news? Because the clock said 11. Oop, boop, get the news. And man, oh man, oh man, that never does me any good. So much of the world trying to get better. And today, that country I'm visiting, Costa Rica, is having their election. And apparently this is a celebration. Everybody goes out and it's almost like a party. And wow, how have they done that in all this time? You know, all that time without a military and... maybe there are lessons to be learned. But anyway, where am I? What am I? Why am I talking to you? What am I? I don't think I could answer that one. Other than, gosh, we're on our way to find a walk-in clinic to get some medication renewed. And I Googled a couple of things on my iPhone, and I just got this run around and agree to these terms from the province of Ontario. And hey, just tell me where the next fucking 24-hour walk-in clinic is. That's all I want. And I guess maybe I had made my search too accurate and came up with this list. And of course, it was a list of all the clinics all around me, but not necessarily the ones that were 24 hours or open on Sunday, which is today. And I said, oh, fuck off. And my son, sitting beside me, number one son, 24-year-old son, Jerry, said, Dad, chill. And, of course, my reaction is, like, what he expected from me was, oh, sorry. And instead, my reaction is, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to behave. Don't tell me not to swear. And, of course, that just led to, he said, well, that's why I can't talk to you. Because you always argue. Gosh, I guess I make it sound like it's nothing but stress and strife with my children. They're not children anymore, my sons. And that's not really the case. It's just I am touchy. And I said, look, don't ever listen to my podcast. I don't want to. Don't worry about it. Because this person talking now under the persona of the Scarborough dude is probably not the father they want. That's awkward, isn't it? I mean, it's difficult because, you know, the argument is, hey, this isn't really the Scarborough dude, this is me. And, I don't know, man, oh man, sometimes it's just, there's that escapism, and it's like people, you're Justin Bieber's, no comparison, I'm just saying, when you surround yourself by yes men, people who are just going to please you and say the nice things about you, you don't get a really good reality check. And maybe I need some reality checks. Okay, that was a text. Sorry, I got to wait another 5 minutes. I'm in the parking lot of the superstore, a place I just can't even go into, a real Canadian superstore, because they do have a pharmacy, which is wonderful, and it's a very convenient shop, but I told my son, I can't shop here. I'm just overwhelmed by the size and the volume and the choices. It just makes me uncomfortable walking through a store so big looking for things. This is why even, you know, I'll go to my local Home Hardware even rather than a Canadian Tire if I'm looking for a bolt, something small, someplace where I can talk to the guy who's been there as long as we've been here, more than 20 years, and we'll know exactly where everything is. I love that. So, anyway, here we are. Today is the day my son is supposed to fly out to Trinidad and Tobago, and I don't want him to go. The first time I mentioned to somebody, that's where he's going, oh my God, they'll kill you. And, it is one of these things. There are worries, and yeah, you can have a nice vacation there. You can also have a bit of trouble, but this morning, he had arranged from Vancouver his flight, really cheap, and what was supposed to be a bed and breakfast place. And this guy was going to pick him up at the airport, take him back to the house, take him around. Wow, that sounds like a deal. And then today, like the day he's leaving, he gets a text from a guy, oh, sir, I got to go off to, I don't know, the Emirates or somewhere. I'm not going to be there. My cousin lives down the road. You can get the keys from him. Well, that's not what you'd call a bed and breakfast. And so this really threw a spanner in the works. And I'm thinking, man, that's just one more sign not to go. This is just not meant to be. So it's one of those real life situations. I don't know how this is going to, I don't know what my next clip is going to be. Well, my son left on the flight after all, or gee, that's great. My son isn't with us for another week, which is my preference. I don't know at this very point. And I can't pressure him other than to say, look, it's your mom's birthday, early February. You could be here for her birthday. She would love that so much. And we really would love to have him. And I do worry about this particular trip. He traveled all over Southeast Asia, and I was fine. But this time, I'm just not comfortable about this whole trip. So, is that something I'm supposed to share with you on the Dixon James podcast? I think I'm sharing it simply because it's one of those strange things about life that's sort of in motion. It's being decided as we go on. Like, he doesn't know whether he's going or not. And what will it take? I said, look, I make every decision. You know, emotionally, I'm just saying, hey, these are signs you're not meant to go. But he doesn't want to buy into that. And I agree. I said, no, you've got to make every decision you make in life should be rational at one point. You know, that on some level, it's got to be a rational decision. Even if you use, like I do, guideposts. Is that a contradiction? Probably that is. Anyway, I said, measure these things. And one of the things I'm asking to measure is your mom would be really happy if you were around and be an extra bonus to be here for her birthday. And this guy's bailed out and the hotels are going to cost you a fortune. So why don't you just cancel your losses now and hang out here? Because his whole purpose was he was coming east just to get into some sun and get away from the rain of Vancouver. So, listen, okay, one more thing. Those of you who have already lost interest or tuned out, it's not fun listening to somebody talk about their children. And it doesn't matter what age. Cute baby? No. Little kid? No. Cute things a kid said first day of school? No. All that shit. Nobody cares, okay? So, here I am for the past few podcasts going on, you know, at length about both my sons and my relationship with them. And it's not like I expect anybody else to care. I'm just trying to sort of share the story of being a father. Of maybe because this podcast is about me and my life, how it impacts me. How different it is when your kids are in their 20s as opposed to when they're in their 2s and 4s and things. That would be part of it. I don't know. I don't know. I guess sometimes things, okay, some things are really poignant, really, really important to you. They you just feel it, and it's deep inside you. And it's very hard to share that with anybody. For somebody else, yeah, it's just the story Ken's talking about whether or not his son is going to go to Trinidad and Tobago today. Who cares? And that's fine. I wouldn't expect anybody to really have much tied into this. But maybe if you look at your own life and the people around you and who's involved in your life and the decisions they make, you do get what it means. It could be your life partner, you know, and something they decide to do, change jobs or want to move or to have or have not a baby or all these things play a huge role, affect everything about who you are. So I guess I'll leave it there. This was just a quick start. I posted yesterday, and I posted the Talking to Shane, which I really had fun doing. And that's it. I'll get back to you. I'll just wait here and see how this unfolds, and stay tuned, and you too will know what happens in the future. Bye for now. This is a PS. Forgive me or not, I don't care. An example of something that meant so much to me, and I can't imagine it meaning anything to anybody else, but last night my number one son, Jerry, cooked dinner with my wife for Chuck and I. Well, for all of us. They had gone to the Art Gallery of Ontario to see that wonderful exhibit on the Great Upheaval. Oh, brilliant. That was my wife's, the gift I gave my wife for her birthday was a museum pass for two for this, the Art Gallery of Ontario. Anyway, they went, had a great time, came back, bought a huge salmon and baked the salmon. And my son did it, and he made this wonderful maple glazed sauce. He's an amazing cook, amongst other things. This is the guy who's the artist's son. It was so wonderful to look into the kitchen and see him and my wife, him and his mother, preparing this meal together. He made a soup. Oh my God, I don't know what was in it. It was very thick, creamy, like a squash, carrots. I don't know what else was in it, all blended together. Fabulous. The spice, just excellent. And again, I know, who cares? You've had nice soup too. But the feeling of seeing the woman I married, the woman I pursued in Japan, you know, 26 years ago, whatever, 1986, yeah, longer. And our grown son racing around the kitchen preparing. We set it, we did it for a change. We set it at our nice dining room table, a bottle of sparkling wine. And it was just, it was such a beautiful thing. It was so heartwarming. It was so touching. And again, what does that mean to you? Nothing. What does it mean to me? Everything. And I guess it just boils down to, it's very difficult to share things, share emotional things. You know, your little kid sings their first song or speaks their first sentence. Yeah, 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 every kid does that. How close can we get? How much can we care about other people? How wide does that circle go? We do care. I love it because it's my wife and my son. And my sons, my other son, you know, curled up on the sofa, a little bit hungover, a little bit tired, a little bit sick, but still going out to yet another party. And looking over and sort of laughing affectionately at our little one, now 22 years old. And the two of them getting back within probably 20 minutes of each other at 3 in the morning, and me hearing them outside my door just talking and feeling so happy that these two brothers who live apart in different parts of the world and who were always very different and I guess in some ways not that close, seeing them close, seeing them share each other's clothes. Can I borrow your coat? and laughing over a video together. It's just wonderful. And I guess it's the love you feel for maybe your own mother or father that somebody else can't feel it. They can feel a similar experience in their family. Maybe it's pointless for me to even try and explain all this. Maybe the message is crank up your own intensity for your own feelings, your own love, your own caring within your immediate circle. Love the ones you love. Yeah. And there, I just can't, I can't, I'm grasping at something that you can't grasp at, and I'm failing miserably, so. I'll try again later. Check. Oh boy. It is now Wednesday. I think it's February 4th. It's the day I've got an exam scheduled for my students, or a test worth 5% of the final grade. So it's a big one, but we are having a major snowstorm. Major here in Toronto. We have had an amazing winter, and I gotta tell you, I love it. all these people complaining it's too long. Fuck you. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's hard for some people, but man, do I love to see the snow. And I need the experience of a real winter. This is it. Cars getting stuck, shoveling out your front door, you know, car caked, covered deep in snow that you have to broom off. And, oh, it's wonderful. And just the visuals of just looking out your window and seeing the beauty all around, it's great. But I know not everybody agrees, and I'm escaping for 2 weeks in February, or the end of, for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful little trip to Costa Rica that I'm getting more and more excited about as we go on. It sounds great. Anyway, I'm going to continue on a thread. I decided after the last clip that you just heard, a voice inside me rose up and said, that's it, no more talking about your children. It's off limits. It doesn't belong on this podcast. They don't want you to talk about them. It's not right. It's too private. It's too personal. And I was firm on that for like maybe 48 hours. And here we are today, with me feeling the need to continue to talk about my sons and my relationship with them. And I, if there's an apology due to anyone, especially Chuck and Jerry, then I give it. And I'm sometimes on a podcast, or sometimes on this kind of podcast, it's almost beyond your control. And I know that sounds like a cop-out, and my sons both accuse me of making cop-outs many times, making excuses for my behavior, and they're probably right. The story goes on. Both are at home today right now. I woke up number two and said, hey, you got to take a bus to school today, and they are going to be slow. You should get up now and get a head start, because you're going to need a lot of extra time. But in fact, I should probably text him and say, hey, just check. Maybe your class is canceled. Who knows, you know? I don't want to. That's up to him to do that. Yeah, that's his responsibility. Anyway, where I left off was Jerry had decided not to go to Trinidad. And we all felt relief. You know, there's just so many signs. And I was really worried about it from the start. So he spent the next couple of days around home, and he and I went out Monday night, which is usually a non-drinking night for me. He said, let's go to the Amsterdam Brewery, and I said, no, but I will take you to the only cafe. So we went to the only cafe and, you know, knocked back quite a few pints, him even ahead of me, and talked. I told him the story of me courting his mother in Yokohama, and he wanted to hear that. It was kind of important. I was glad. We did talk about more about the past, and we did touch on some of my failures as a father, some of the things I could have done better, some of the things that he still resents. And I went on saying, yeah, well, I got some things about my father that, you know, could have been better, and on it goes. I guess we kind of pushed back and forth a little bit on that, with me believing that wherever you are in life, you start from there and you go forward. The past is the past, can't be changed. Apologies here and there don't do any harm. But you've got to move forward, and you've got to take what it is you've got now and build your life. And we all understand that. And, of course, the message is every parent of the next generation has the responsibility, I think, to try and do a better job than your parents did. And I think, actually, I was about to claim, yeah, I did a better job than my parents, but maybe not. I think sometimes I have a problem expressing love. And that might sound kind of funny. Oh, yeah, man. Peace and love. Dope, man. And all that 60s stuff all about love. All you need is love. I think it sounded good, but I think I think if I went back to some intensive therapy, I would end up a sobbing heap on the floor. I'm just going to say a hobbing seep on the floor. That might be better. A hobbing seep on the floor. Because I think I've probably buried a lot or sublimated a lot. I mean, we all have. And again, same message. Well, just move forward. The past is the past. But maybe sometimes we do have to dig in and explore and find things, feel things again. And I think sometimes I don't do a very good job of just feeling. And I always preach. That's what it's about. Be in the now. And in the now isn't just looking at the beautiful visuals around you. I can't see a thing right now. The windows are already deep in snow. I'm sitting in my car in the parking lot at my college, by the way, where I never record from. But I really had to get to this. My son's accused me of sighing a lot. They really don't like it. And I'm noticing I'm doing it more and more. As if I'm carrying some terrible weight. And it's strange. I mean, I really do need to lighten up. I really do need to, here I am, reach another level. The thing I always talk about on the Dixon James podcast, get to that next level, get higher. And it's not in your head, and it's not intellectualized, and it's not just understanding. It's being, it's feeling, it's expressing. And sometimes that's just really hard to do. We have a lot of blocks. And I guess perhaps the key to it for me, the key is not going to see a therapist, but just continue to engage with both my sons and learn from them. It's this thing of you can have a world around you. I'm very proud of my reputation at this college. I really want to build on that. I've got plans and ambitions. Like, I really want to try and convince them to hire me to develop a material, a curriculum for this particular class I'm teaching, because the students have just spent $115 on a textbook they'll hardly use, they can't afford, and it's way above their level. And I'm thinking, hey, I've made textbooks before, books before. I can do this. I've taught this class. I know what they need. And maybe I'd need a helper. Maybe I need to be on part of a team. That's probably the way the college does things. But I really want to do that. I want to say, hey, hire me. I really want to commit myself to this, the future here. And that sets aside this need to write a book and everything else, because this is still now. These are still my working years. I like this. I like my job. I like the challenge. I like the stimulation. I like the actual teaching and the interaction and the play. It's, you know, not the drudgery of marking, and that's why I've tried to specialize here and get one particular course, and I want to kind of corner that market. I think me being asked to go along on this tour or getting accepted is a very good sign, and I think I can build on that. Now, is that a new topic or is that related? I think it was related, but I can't see the connection right now. Connection between my sons and that. Getting his shit together. Being real. I guess so. You have a world around you that sort of defines you to some degree. Like, okay, this is who I am. I'm a teacher, and I like curriculum, and I like doing these things, and I like doing new things. I like being creative, and the idea of creating a textbook or a guidebook is an act of creativity, and I love that. And the podcasting is creativity, and I love doing that. But the other reality is just who you are in the interactions with those you are supposed to be closest to, which is your immediate family. My brother, my sister, for example, who I'm distant from and have lived apart from most of my life, most of my adult life, and I've felt very much I live in a different world. And I guess maybe that's not so strange. But with my own children and my wife, I should be the closest. And I think there are probably a lot of issues there still to explore. And here I am talking about something so damn personal that just seems off bounds and off limits. And yet, I always talk about what's the value of this podcast, of doing this, if I can't be real and honest and open and true and share that, have the courage to share that? Maybe it's have the stupidity to share that. I don't know. Because that's your real life. Those you're closest to. And maybe this thing, this Dixon James podcast, which I think quite highly of, thank you very much, is just another con, another escape, another way of making me feel good about myself, when reality is right before me. I think I've painted myself into a corner here, and I don't know where to go next, so I'll stop there. I'm going to trudge in. I've parked my car near the library. I've got to trudge down there. The snow is coming down hard. I'm going to have to get in and send another. Some students asked, is the test still on today? And I said, hey, it's only snowing. Of course it is. But somebody else wrote in, my car doesn't have good traction. And then in bold letters, I don't want to have an accident. More or less saying, hey, don't make me come in to write this damn test. It'll be your fault if something happens to me. So I already answered, okay, you can do it Friday. And I think I better send that announcement out to everybody. Today we are having a group meeting about all the people who are going off on these things that are called global citizenship and equity learning experiences. And at first I thought, oh my God, that's just college talk. But it's starting to make more and more sense. So, boys, girls, this is just another little segment of the continuing saga of the Dixon James podcast. You can find me at the Emporium, somewhere in Hamilton, I don't know, Main Street. I thought it was a slum building. Anthony has, I've seen the pictures. This Emporium that Anthony Marco owns looks actually pretty damn good. So you can find the Dixon James podcast and many others, and of course the 24 podcasts that Anthony Marco does himself, right there. Find them in any format you like, 8-track and so on. That's it. Talk to you later. Stay tuned. Dixon James Podcast number 440. 440. How about that? Bye for now.
From the labyrinth beyond time and space, seeks his way out to a clearing. Who? From the labyrinth beyond time and space, seeks his way out to a clearing. Who? From the labyrinth beyond time and space, seeks his way out to a clearing. Time and space seeks his way out to a clearing.
set to high sensitivity in our local Tim Hortons. Hang on. A bit noisy. And I don't want to be overheard, so I think we'll switch to low sensitivity. Hang on. That is low sensitivity, and I'm guessing you can still hear me, but I just have to speak a little closer into the mic. I've cornered the fireside seat. I feel a little guilty. There's three sort of leather seats here, and I'm taking up two of them with my bags, my baggage, my marking, my coat, my hat, my scarf, the works, and taking in the scene around me, part of multicultural Scarborough, which is the theme, if I had one, I want to pick up now. I guess it does apply to my children who've grown up here, and they both claim they're really glad of it, that they've had a broader education, certainly living in this neighborhood and having friends from many different cultures through their school years. And I think that's a great thing, and in such sharp contrast to the apartheid-like existence I had living in Western Lachine, going to the Protestant school boards of Greater Montreal, where you separated the French and the English and separated out the Catholics, who had their own school system. And there was virtually nobody of color. There were very, very, very few visible minorities. It's just one of the wonders of living here in Scarborough. I've just dropped my car off at Unity Auto just down the road, and I was the only white face in there. Everybody else, very dark, and in speaking language, I don't know. I'm guessing it's Tamil. But what a great place to bring my car. I guess I hit a pothole or something, and the splash pan broke, and a bracket came off. It was dragging on the road, making a racket. It had to be repaired. I couldn't take this thing on the highway. And I knew if I brought it to my Mazda dealer, they would insist on ordering an entirely new splash plate, you know, for hundreds of dollars. It's just a plastic thing, and the brackets and the expensive, you know, the waiting time, everything else. And these guys, as I hoped and expected, they just got it up on the lift, welded one little bracket in place. They saw it was loose somewhere else. They said, they took out a measuring stick and said, we'll just put a new bracket on for you here. We'll do it for about $60. And there's a guy there with a blowtorch, and it's exactly what I wanted. I'm just so glad I found this place. I only found them because my wife's car needed an emission test, and these guys did it. So that's a plus, having a new garage to take my car. And I know they're going to do a good job, and it was very much old school, just the way they were dressed and the fact that, again, nobody was speaking English. I guess that's not old school, but their type of workmanship. Yeah, we can fix that, you know, to jerry-rig something. And that's what I need for two cars getting on in years. Before that, again, theme of multiculturalism, I mean, it's just kind of neat. You know, I explained with a lot of sign language I had to use what was wrong with the car. The other day I went to see my doctor of Indian heritage, but born and raised in Scarborough, best doctor I've had. And I went in complaining about my back, and he immediately ordered x-rays and another MRI and blood tests and trying to rule out everything. Within 5 minutes of leaving his office, I had had three x-rays. Now, that's incredible health service, at no cost, of course. Just simply down the basement, there they were. And again, I was the only, I use the term white, cause I don't know what else to use, Caucasian person in the whole building. The entire building, even when I went for blood tests. It was just, and not just one ethnic minority, but all ethnic minorities. This is Scarborough. This is Toronto. And it was wonderful talking with people and feeling comfortable myself in this new world that is the new Canada. again, just thinking back to Western Lachine, you may have had to deal with French people, but certainly it was very slow to change. Part of that was the Cultural Revolution in Quebec through the 60s. When you think of the book I've mentioned before, Pierre Valier, I believe, wrote White Niggers of America, and just talked about, you know, taking back some of the power of the church and moving on. Anyway, it kind of felt good, and I make a lot of small talk. And it's the same when I go to my local Metro store. I'll talk to the cashier, and it's always somebody from a different background. And if they happen to be look like me, that's great, too. We just chat, but it's also normal. And it's almost, I get a picture sometimes when I'm listening to Up in His Head, Jason, Up in His Brain, sorry. and I hear him going through the drive-thru. I'm picturing white people with these lovely accents. But I'm just getting such a very, very different scene that perhaps where he lives, you know. And if I was to leave Scarborough, I would have a very different experience, too. You know, small-town Canada hasn't quite changed as quickly as Toronto has. But it's all just a good thing. It's a plus. It makes me smile. The same for my college, the same for the students I teach. I am, you know, living in the midst of a multicultural world, and I'm the richer for it. The other day, my wife and I were hungry, and I stopped by an Indian takeout place. Again, the only white person. Very little shared in the way of language. It was a lot of pointing. And that was fine. Came home with great food at a very, very reasonable price, which made it quite exciting. Moving on, the children. Number two son, Chuck, should be on his way to Sudbury now. He wasn't sure how far it was. He hadn't looked at a map, but a friend was driving up. One friend is graduating from college there and heading off to Alberta, I believe, for a job. So they planned a party. All I saw him pack was a bottle of Captain Morgan's Dark. But no doubt they will have a great time. And we're happy he has good friends. These are friends that go back from his same school days way back. Since we moved here. He moved here when he was just two, so this is his world. And number one son just texted me from Trinidad. So yes, he made it. He canceled his trip, and then after a few days staying home, sort of recovering, he had some kind of a flu bug, feeling a little better and a little restless and not wanting to return to Vancouver without having seen some sunshine. He rebooked a flight to Trinidad, and is there now. And I was genuinely worried, you know, for safety concerns from all I had heard. And instead, he found another place, and a woman phoned to get his name, and she was the kindest sounding woman, and I was so relieved to hear her voice. The person who was running the hotel or pension or whatever he was staying in. And she said, tell him Keith will be there at 6 o'clock to pick him up. And I said, you know, this is Jerry's father. We were worried about it, and I'm just relieved. You sound very kind, and I know you'll look after my son. And she just reassured me in the kindest, warmest words that he'll just be fine. And that's a wonderful thing, and that's part of just parenting. You do worry about your kids. So anyway, I'm staring at a scene now I would just love to take a picture of, but I don't dare. It would be intruding on two women, one who's probably the caretaker, lost in her iPhone, and another woman looking like the advanced stages of Alzheimer's, who just has no idea what planet she's on or what she's going. My mother was, I guess, close to that stage, except I think my mother smiled a little more, and this woman does not seem able to smile. And it's a very, very sad thing when humans get to that stage. So anyway, the place is filling up. I can't commandeer these three leather seats much longer, so I'll end it there. I'll go back, pick up my car, and get on with the day. It's my wife's birthday, so hopefully we'll be able to go out to dinner together. Boys and girls, Dicks and Janes, listeners, as always, stay tuned. You never know what's coming next, because I sure as hell don't know. Bye for now.
Money and some potential, they might be interested in you. But if they can't control you, you've got money, you can get fucked. You can get bent. And if you act like a man, you're gone. I think we should start a man's club. I think we should, what is it, 100 and, there's 100 and, let's see, there's 315 million people in America, right? I think there's 178 million women. Can you imagine something like that? They're taking over, motherfucker. 178 million women. I think we should have a man's club. We should just meet up. 100 million men meet up fucking once a month. Do man shit and stuff. I just read an article. We got a big agenda here, so I'm just kind of rattling on. I just read an article. You think I'm shitting you? Go look this up. And you're going to think, well, what are you talking about, man? I want to dress. I like my metrosexual outfit. I like being cool and hip to chicks. Oh, wow, man. They like me, man. They like it. Go ahead and get one. You'll get yourself one. She's going to be on a rag till she's fucking 50 years old. That's going to cost you about $10,000 in rags when you're with her. 10 grand in rags. What about the birth control pills? That's another $7,000 or whatever they're doing. That's $17,000. Can you do that?
Okay.
Her yeast infections will cost you approximately $17,000.
Not everybody's cup of tea.
You're talking 50.
We're talking Norm Augustinus here.
Yeast infections and all kinds of other shit that females.
And sometimes I get too busy and a week goes by and you realize you're falling behind. But tonight I put Norm back on. And it was an amazing opening. You may not, you know, not everybody's going to like this man. I think that a lot of women might have a hard time grasping where he's coming from. But he's sure an interesting guy. This particular podcast, which one is this, Norm? Candy Striper. It's it gets off to a pretty rocking beginning. It's just bizarre. It's way out there, but the man is an artist. I defend him to the end. You may not like what he's doing, but man, I think the defense is, hey, you can't tell people what they can say and can't say. I want to live in a world that has enough freedom that allows, my God, a nightmare. We'd be living in a world where somebody would censor Norm Augustinus. So you can't say that. We're going to arrest you. We're going to lock you up. We're going to silence you. I want a world that allows Norm Augustinus to say whatever it is that comes to his mind. Because, he's riffing. He's just, bam, he puts that mic on and he goes with it. It's live jazz. Some might say live jizz, but I think it's live jazz, jizz jazz. But it's Norm Augustinus, and Norm, I thank you. I really do. My hat's off to you. I salute you. Okay, it's one of those late nights when I'm in the GO station parking lot. You know the kind. Yeah. Looks like there's a couple of cop cars over there. Yeah, side by side, buddying up back to front. So the drivers are just sort of got windows rolled down. They're chatting. I'm just back from the Only Cafe. Brian met me there at 7 o'clock. We only had 4 pints each, which was just the right amount. And each one carefully chosen from their book. I enjoyed every one I had tonight. Really, really nice. Sorry, I'm shouting and mumbling and stumbling. I guess even the 4 pints and a little bit of a third of a J always puts me into a sort of a buzz zone, yeah. So that's why I sit here in the car and figured, hey, wait a minute now, I got a podcast. I'm almost finished a podcast. I had 10 minutes left, and now we got what? Holy shit, 5.5 minutes left to go. Etobicoke Joel joined us. It was really good. We talked about the Canada-Japan Society. He was basically, we used each other. We were a good pair. He was always a vice president when I was president. Basically, he needed me to be president. I needed him to be vice president. We agreed on that. We talked a lot about this thing. That's my connection with this man. We talked about fatherhood. I made a line. What was it? The true story of every man is his relationship with his father. Something like that. And I thought of people. I don't know. Shane Burley, a guy out west. You know Shane. If you listen to Discultured, you'll know Shane. I don't know anything about his dad. Here it is. All men's stories are about their fathers. I guess really what I meant was all men's stories are about their relationships with their fathers. I think that's more to the point. Yeah, and it is. I mean, just has a huge impact on us one way or the other, you know. And it's unique for every man. Every relationship is unique. Every relationship with that father, every father is unique. Every, you know what I'm saying. But I think there's a lot of clues in there. I think there's a lot of story in there. I think it shapes us. Basically, it shapes us, you know, profoundly. And that's like probably something that goes back. You know, it's a hereditary thing. And it's sort of the way humans are wired. Men are supposed to somehow learn from their fathers. I don't know how it works, but it is a fact that we are certainly influenced by them. I guess I got nothing to say. I guess this is the end of the podcast, and you're probably thinking, oh my God, I haven't heard a drunk dude for a while, and I guess probably could argue, yeah, I guess that's what I am. There's a GO train. You want to hear it? You like hearing the trains, don't you? Just so we know where we are. I love trains. I don't know what else there is to tell you about today. Or any other day, for that matter. It's just a lot of good things happen in life. And we got to be grateful for all that we have. We have to love more. We have to care more. And that's sometimes easier said than done, especially for a guy like me. I think we have to be intimate, not afraid to be intimate. I think we have to share our stories more. And I really do think, on a serious note, that the Dixon Jane School of Podcasting is really about the therapeutic value of coming clean, owning up, speaking out, sharing parts of your soul with strangers in the dark. I really do mean that, and I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's beneficial, and I like to think that I've influenced a few people out there to start peeling back the layers and sharing just a little bit more about who you really are. And don't be shy about it, man. You're forgiven. But it sometimes helps others if we come clean about our own inadequacies, our own failures, our own feelings. Now, it's not to say you can't celebrate your successes. God knows I do enough of that. But you got to let it out when it's tough, when you're feeling a little bit of embarrassment, a little bit of shame. You know, you got to share that too. And I think the more we do that, the more, as maybe Norm's theme was, you got to be open. You got to be honest. You can't be forced to be something that you're not because society dictates that. The norms do. The culture. Sorry, not that kind of norms. The norms of society, the pressures that go on. And tell us how to be, what to wear, what to share, what not to share. We gotta make those decisions for ourselves. So I'm telling you, Scarborough Dude here, speaking out on the Dixon James podcast. I am gonna be as honest as I can and share as much as I can, as often as I can, in such a clean way. And one day, I am gonna write that book. Little segments, the paragraphs just keep popping up in my head. Probably 2-3 years down the road, but it'll happen. Signing out. Bye for now, and tune in next week, because I'll be back.